And beyond emptiness, is it fair?
And I guess those are the two things that kept settling in my heart. And I think as a people and as a culture, we tend to think in ourselves, is this fair? We think a lot of times along the lines of, struggles and things that we go through in this life about, we see, you don't have to go very far to see people in need. You don't have to go very far in different countries to realize that there's children that don't eat every day. They don't have the appropriate means, nor do their parents have the appropriate means to provide shoes and clothing, let alone air conditioning. They don't have the means to provide them decent health care. And listen, that's not just in different countries. That's right here in our very own country as well. You don't have to go very far. And it doesn't take us very long before, and I'm guilty of it, to sit back and say, is it fair that these people go through these things and they suffer these things? Is it fair? And I think a lot of times that's something that we use as far as the terminology goes. Is it fair that this person got this disease, they got this cancer, and they passed away? Why is it my family? Why is it that I suffered this loss? Or why is it that this happened to me? And I think a lot of times we ask that question, why? And we want to sit back and reflect on, is it fair? But I want you to understand something this morning, is life is not fair. Life is not fair. It's not balanced on a scale of you receive this or you receive that. Life is not fair. And that's something even as young children I try to teach my boys. You know, they come to me and oftentimes and even to their mama, well, that's just not fair, mama. Why is this? Why does Braxton get to stay up later than me or whatever? You know, little children have discussions. And I try to implement to them that life is not fair. There's going to be things that are going to come and happen in your life, and we just need to find that in a point that life may not be fair this morning, but I'm thankful that God is ever present or ever needing trouble. He's always there. He strengthens and helps us. And I'm thankful this morning that God has a plan for our lives, though we may not understand each and every detail of it. When we come here, I want to take this morning some reading here out of the 7th chapter of 1 Samuel. I want to talk about what our Ebenezer is. And this morning, I want to talk about that a little bit, and I want to talk about emptiness. And I don't know, pray for me that the Lord had helped me bring all this together, what little thought that He's given me. I want to take up our reading here. Let's start here about the 3rd verse. And it says, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods of Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only. He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all of Israel unto Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered unto Mizpah, and drew water out, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, that we have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together into Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said unto Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord, and Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near unto battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day in the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, and pursued the Philistines, and smote them, until they come into Bethkar. And when Samuel took a stone and he set it between Mizpah and Shin, and he called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Here too the Lord hath helped us." And so the Philistines were subdued, that they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And I want to stop there with the mistakes that we've made reading. And I want to look here at exactly what has taken place. And maybe this morning I might do a little bit better in trying to explain part of the scene. I want to tell you just a little bit about what's going on. And when we look back through the Scriptures, and we look even in parts of the 4th chapter through the 5th and 6th chapter, all this is kind of building up to this point. And you'll find that the Philistines in the 4th chapter had come unto them. And I want you to realize this morning that oftentimes you'll find yourself, and I want to try to bring us down this morning to a level that maybe we can understand. But oftentimes there's going to be battles, and there's going to be things that you're going to face. There's going to be things each and every day. And just as David faced that giant, Goliath, that was a Philistine, I want you to know this morning that not necessarily am I trying to reflect towards we're going to face giants in our life every day, but I want you to know that you're going to have a battle some sort, some way. But I want you to know that in our heart that we must come to a point to where we come up and say, "Satan, not today. You're not going to win today. I'm going to look to the Lord. That's where I'm going to draw my strength from." But here it is that I want you to understand that Israel went and fetched up the Ark of the Covenant, and they had decided within themselves that if we had this Ark, the very first battle that they fought, there were some 4,000 Israel men that died. And they decided that, well, if we go get the Ark, which is the presence of God, if we go get that here on earth, and we take that into battle, surely we're going to win this battle. And they began to shout, and they began to get excited, and they thought, well, we've got this Ark before us. We're going to be all right. And even so much that in this second battle, the Scripture teaches us that the Philistines began to wonder within themselves, man, what's going on over there in this Israel camp? This is the God that had brought them out of Egypt. He had brought them out with a strong hand. They began to wonder within themselves, what are we going to do? But I believe in their mind they become more determined, right? They weren't necessarily, they understood this God. They had enough knowledge to understand who God was and what He had done for Israel, but yet within themselves, that just determined them even more. So they went out, and there was a great defeat for Israel that day. And you would think, well, here it is. They had the Ark of the Covenant before them. But I want you to understand something. They didn't ask God for the permission to take the Ark of the Covenant into battle. They didn't look to God and guidance for His help and for His strength. They just went upon a superstitious notion, if you will, that as long as we have the Ark with us, we're going to be all right. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. The Ark was very special. It had a lot of detail. It was made specifically by direction, by the guidance of God. We know that there was the two tablets of stone, God's testimony that was placed in there. It had Aaron's budding rod that was in there as well. We also know that there was a bowl of manna, a golden bowl of manna in there. And so it represented between those two golden cherubs the presence of God. Now, they thought within themselves, as long as we have the Ark, everything's going to be all right. They went into battle. There was a great loss. I want you to understand something this morning. Just because that you're a child of God and you go into battle doesn't necessarily mean that something's not going to happen to you. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's not going to be trials and things that are going to come your way. That doesn't mean that you're not going to face sicknesses and illnesses in this life. That doesn't mean that you're not going to face losses in this life this morning. And I know that most of us are familiar with these things. But I want you to know this morning that if we go to the Lord, and my friend, that's first and foremost this morning, is to go to God before you face any battle. Go to the Lord and ask Him for His guidance and for His help. Now, once again, the Philistines, they take off here. They're all excited. They've got the Ark of the Covenant. they bring it into their town, I guess you could say, and they bring it in there, and even though that there was none of Israel in there, now I want you to understand there was a law that God had set up in a way that this ark was to be carried, the way that it was to be respected, the way that it was to be reverenced. And these Philistines, they didn't understand that. They erected it up, and what ended up happening? Their God, I believe by the name of Dagon, it fell and broke into pieces. I thought, well, their priest thought, well, that just happened by accident, you know. We'll just glue it back together and everything will be all right. I want you to know this morning, God will not be mocked. My friend, God deserves our reverence. He deserves our respect. He deserves to be exalted. He deserves to be lifted up because of what He's done for mankind. And my friend, God will be reverenced. He will be respected. And my friend, if it takes us getting down in our knees, and my friend, wearing the knees out in our pants to reverence Him and lift His holy name up, my friend, God will have reverence. My friend, what began to happen? Well, God sent a great disease, if you will. There was tumors and I believe mice or rats, if you will, that come upon them. And they said, well, we got to do something with this thing. They moved it to another city. And God, once again, He began this great disease, began to spread amongst the people. Now, I want you to understand, I'm getting to a long point here, but I'm trying to bring this out about what God had done for them. And they said, we've got to send this thing back. I believe it was over there with them for some 7 months. They said, we've got to send this thing back. They said, but just to make sure this is of God. Now, I'm talking about Philistines. They were they worshipped false gods, idols. They said, but just to make sure this thing's God. He said, we're going to build a cart, which was contrary to what God had commanded them on how to carry the ark. He said, but we're going to build a cart, and then we're going to go find us two mama cows, to carry this cart. And they said, then we're going to turn them loose, and we're going to see if they take the cart back to Israel. And I'm going to tell you something real interesting about these two cows. These two cows was mama cows, but their calves was still on them sucking. Now, I don't know how many of y'all know very much about mama cows, but they're not going to get very far from their babies. All right? And these two mama cows had never pulled a cart before. They'd never been hitched together, neither had they ever been hitched alone. They said, we're going to see if this is really of God. Now, them two cows, they went out pulling that cart. And you know what? They passed grass. They was bawling and a-crying for their calves, but you know what? They went on into Israel. Now, I want you to think about that. Did God not prove Himself? God proved Himself. And I want you to understand something. That may not seem like very much to you, but I'm telling you, raising cattle and having a cattle farm, I've seen mama cows jump gates. I've seen them run through fences. I've seen them blow through barn doors. I've seen them crawl up cattle chutes, everything in the world to try to get to their mama cow. I don't know very much about hitching cows up to yoke and pulling cows and different things. I don't know a whole lot about that, but I'm going to tell you this. You try to take an unlearned horse and saddle him and put a bridle on him, you better be ready. Now, that may not seem like very much to you, but I'm telling you, God can do all things this morning. He can take two unlearned cows that every instinct in them is telling them to get back to their calves, and He says for them to carry that Ark of the Covenant back into the camp of Israel. Now, God can do all things. Once again, the Philistines decide here, as we was reading our text a moment ago, it says for time's sake, I won't get into all that. Finish reading the sixth chapter of this 1 Samuel on your own time. That'll pretty well get you caught up with a lot of the story. It says, here it is once again, the Philistines, they're going into battle. But I want you to understand here what that God is doing to them and what Samuel is saying. Now, the ark was there, and I'm going to butcher this. Kirjath-Jearim. It was there some 20 years. But here it is. Samuel is speaking to them and all the house of Israel. He said, if you do return unto the Lord with all your heart and put away your strange gods. Now, I've said this here before. We can't serve God in mammon. We can't serve God just part of the time. That ain't how it works. If we're going to serve the Lord, we've got to serve Him with our whole heart this morning. If we're going to serve Him, we've got to serve Him. That's what Joshua said there in the 24th chapter. He said, choose you in this day who you're going to serve. And he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Because I believe God had showed Joshua how great he was. They marched him around the city of Jericho. God had given him instruction on what he was to do. And my friend, God tore down those walls because he listened to the instruction. My friend, God had brought Joshua and the children of Israel a great distance, done a lot of wonderful things. My friend, I want you to know this morning, though your journey may be very long or though it may be very short, if you're a child of God, God's done a lot of great things for you in your life as well. But I want you to understand here what Samuel's telling them. He said, if you'll return to me, he said, put away the strange gods. Put away everything that's not associated with me and focus on me. And he says, and gather Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray unto the Lord. And it says, they gathered together to Mizpah and drew out water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now I want you to understand that may not seem like very much. But I want you to know this morning that they gathered up that bucket of water. And I believe that when we talk about being poured out, when you look that up in the Hebrew, what that means is to be empty. That's what that means. They poured that out like a bucket of water. And this morning, I want to be empty. I want to be emptied of every little selfish thing that I want and desire in this world. I want to be empty of every little thing that I want. Because it's not about me, and it's not about you, but it's about the Lord Jesus. It's about what He's done for us. And I want to be empty of every little selfish thing that I want and I desire and what I think that is best. And they said that they took that bucket of water and they poured it out before the Lord. And my friend, this morning, if we're going to serve God, and we're going to be in a place like we've been this morning, we've got to get empty before God. We've got to pour ourselves out. I mean, listen, I'm talking about things that's in your way. If it's your job, if it's things going on at home, if it's your marriage, division, whatever it is this morning, if you're going to serve God, you've got to be empty of it. You've got to get down to a place in prayer just as they was. What that represented, I was reading one commentary, and what basically they said was it was representative of them saying, God, if I could cry the tears to fill up this bucket. I can't shed enough tears, God, for where we've been and where I desire for that you bring me back to. If I could shed enough tears and repent enough that it would fill up this bucket of water. My friend, this morning, that's where we of God's people need to get to. Is to be poured out before God. Lord, you know the amazing thing about God is He knows who you are. He knows what you're capable of. Sister Laura, He knows the deeds that we've done. He knows everything about our life. Very hairs on our head are numbered. He knows everything about your life. And yet God still loves you. He still shows you mercy. And He still desires to use you in this life. if we can just get down to a place to where we can be poured out before God. I'm reminded in the story in the scripture about a little widow woman. Elisha come to him. I believe it's over in the fourth chapter of 2 Kings. Her husband had died. She had two sons. All she had was oil. Elisha began to speak to her and told her to take those empty vessels and begin to fill them. She began to fill them, and you know what happened? She ran out of vessels, but the oil never run out. I think of that song this morning, Primitive Quartet sings, Lord, would you empty me of every little selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with thee. Lord, empty me. You know who else was empty? You see, Jesus is our example. I'm never going to live up to him. But he's my older brother. I may be the sorriest preacher this side of the Mason-Dixon line. But thanks be unto God, he sees something in me he can use. And that's all I want. I just want to be used by him. I want to be a help to somebody. I want to be a help to you. I want to be a help to some lost person that needs to be saved. I may not be much, but I want to be used by him. And Jesus, we read about over in the 53rd Psalm, 53rd chapter of Isaiah. He said, and he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he shall be numbered with the transgressors, And he shall bear the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. It says, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. Jesus emptied himself. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Second chapter of Philippians says that he made himself of no reputation. And Brother Don said one time, he said, Brother Casey, I don't understand how that it could say that he made himself of no reputation. And I don't claim to be a Bible scholar, but when it talks about no reputation in the Greek, means he emptied himself. What did he empty himself of? His glory that was, he still retained his glory, for he was all God and he was all man. But I'm saying he left the glories and the splendors of heaven and he became a man in this flesh that he might die for us. He emptied himself. He became poor that through him we might be rich. He emptied himself. He shed everything for us. He gave his life on a cross at Calvary. He emptied himself, his soul, unto death. You know what that means? I believe it, what it means. I believe he gave everything that he had. He didn't leave nothing hanging on the line. He gave every drop of blood. He shed it all for us. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying to the Father, Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. And great drops of blood fell from sweat from his forehead. He was emptying himself before God. Why? Oh, I'll tell you why. Because he seen a little 9-year-old boy. He seen a little 9-year-old boy that was going to need a Savior. He seen a 9-year-old little boy that couldn't pay for his own sin. He seen a 9-year-old little boy that was going to die and perish and burn forever. And he said, Father, I'll go and pay a price that they can't pay.
Listen to me this morning. I'm loud. Bless your heart. I'm tore all to pieces this morning. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. But I thank God this morning that He saved a wretch like me. He emptied Himself. He emptied Himself for me. He gave Himself for me. He gave everything. Everything. He owns it all. 1,000 cattle and 1,000 hills. Everything in this world is His. And He gave it all up for me. He poured His soul out to death. You think about what He said there while He's on the cross at Calvary. He said, Father, Father, why hast Thou forsaken me? Sky turned black, stayed black for 3 hours. You know why? Because God the Father couldn't look upon the sin. He became sin for us. And all that He asked from us, He said, if you'll return, do away with your idols, the things that you're putting before me, and pour yourself out before me. You know that's what God wants, is just to pour yourself out. God, I ain't got nothing to offer you today except me. I'm nothing. God, I know that I'm a nobody. But God, if you can use me to help somebody, Lord, take me and use me. Well, I tell you what happened. Israel got their heart right. They got their heart right. They emptied themselves. You know what God did? He showed up to battle. I'm going to tell you this. A lot of times in this world we live in, we want to be like, Lot. We look out across the plains of Jordan. We see the lush grass. You think a lot of times the grass is a little greener on the other side sometimes. You look out and then what happens? You end up pitching your tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah. I want to say this. You can't expect the blessings of Abraham when you live in a life like Lot. You want to be blessed like Abraham was blessed? It was counted unto him for righteousness' sake because he believed God. My friend, this morning, faith. You know what Paul said about faith? He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith. Faith in God that with men it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Faith. The grain of a mustard seed will move mountains. I'm telling you, I still believe that today. Faith this morning that God can do all things. We want to see lost saved. We've got to have faith. You know why? Because He said that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He said, for without faith it's impossible to please God. So we want to be rewarded. We've got to seek. You know something this morning? He said, seek and you shall find. Knock and I will answer. We've got to seek Him. You know something this morning? I've learned early on that seeking God doesn't stop after you've been saved. I'll move on. He emptied Himself for us. And I'm telling you this morning, I'm just going to say this. Yesterday, my wife and my children went to go eat with her mama and daddy. She said, honey, I wish you'd come with us. I said, I got to get settled on some things. I got down to my living room floor. I didn't have to make a trip out to the stump. I got down to my living room floor. I said, Lord, help me. Help me. Give me direction. Steer me, Lord. Give me what's needed for our church. And church, it ain't just me. I finally come down to a place, Lord, just empty me. Show me what I am, God. I know that I'm nothing without you. We want to draw close to God. I'm going to tell you, we got to be empty. Because life ain't fair. Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it before the Lord and wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried for the Lord Israel. And the Lord heard him. I want you to understand here, it says the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, confused them. And they were smitten before Israel. I'm going to say this morning, when God is fighting your battles for you, and He's helping you, my friend, this morning, there ain't nothing like it. But I'm going to tell you something. You try to fight the battle. You try to fight Satan on your own. I'm just telling you from experience, you're going to fall flat on your face every time. Because I've done it. You know what James said? He said, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil. He will flee from you. You know what it requires before the devil will flee and run, go from you? It's submitting yourself to God. Amen. You leave that part out, you're going to have a hard time Satan fleeing you. You tell me Satan doesn't know the words of the Bible? Absolutely he does. You don't tell me that he doesn't know the Scripture? Absolutely he does. You know, I was thinking about it. Y'all just bear with me. I was thinking about a moment ago. It just come to me. There's a story in the book of Acts. I don't remember exactly what chapter it is. But there's a woman. She's a soothsayer, I believe. And she's possessed with the devil. She's got these men that's basically taking her out and using her. And she's possessed with the devil. And they're talking, this demon, this evil spirit is speaking here with these men. And they end up saying, they said, you know, I'm going to mess this up. We've heard of, I believe he says, we've heard of you. We've heard I'm going to mess it up, ain't I? Help me, somebody. Where's that at in the Scripture? You say you ought to be able to turn right to it. I probably should. Help me. Oh, let's see. Where's that at? Well, anyway, maybe I'll find it one of these days. Anyway, Satan tempted Jesus there on the mountain. I want you to know this morning that he knows the Scripture. Satan knows you. I want you to know, I believe he has limited power. But I want you to understand something this morning. That Satan seeks to destroy and to devour. He seeks to tear down everything that God is trying to do. And he knows the Word of God. So just as you might this morning say, well, I'm going to use the Scripture to combat God. I mean, to combat Satan. My friend, we need to go to the Word of God. There's strength in that. But I want you to understand this morning, you need the Spirit of God if you're going to battle Satan. I can't do it alone. I need His help. I need God's help. So here it is. They found themselves. God was fighting for them. And it says, when the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it
Ebenezer is saying, here and to the Lord hath helped us. And I bring us to this point. How many Ebenezers do you have in your life? Samuel set up a song as a memorial. He said, here and to this place has God helped us. Israel finally got themselves down to a place to where they repented, trusted in the Lord Jesus, and the Lord showed up to battle for them. They set up a stone, they called it a memorial, meaning a stone of help. My friend, the foundation that I'm standing on, Jesus Christ, I'm thankful that that foundation will never fail me. I'm thankful that when God set my feet up on a solid rock and He kept my feet from falling, He put a new song in my mouth. I'm thankful, though the ground around me might sound shaky sometimes, I'm thankful that the foundation that I'm standing on is firm and it's sure. And my friend, it's sound. Amen. And that foundation will never fail me. Listen to me this morning, church. There's something this morning about getting empty before God. And I don't know what it takes for you in your life to get empty. I don't know. I don't know what's standing in your way. I know there's a song called When I Lay My Eyes at Night. Y'all may have heard of it before. But anything can stand in our way. My friend, this morning, if your family, your children, whatever it is standing in your way from serving God fully and completely, my friend, that don't mean that you have to not love them and care about them, but I'm telling you, God expects to be number one in your life. Number one. That be my message today, as scattered as that was. And when I find a scripture, I'll let you know. I can't think right offhand. There's probably a bunch of you out there right now who could quote a chapter and verse, but I want you to know this morning. Let me see. Yeah, I think that's it, but I can't think about what verse I'm going to use. Anyway, I ain't going to make more of a mess of what I already had. Around, shake hands with one another. I don't want it to seem like I'm not giving an invitation for you that may be lost this morning. But I want you to know, I can't make anybody seek God. But I want you to hear this. There ain't nothing no better in this world than being a child of God. Amen. Knowing that you have a home in heaven. Knowing that when I leave the cares and the troubles of this life behind me, that I've been thinking about that song, Beulah Land. And boy, I get kind of homesick for that country. And I'm looking for a better land. There's no more sick. There's no more hurting. There's no more death. There's no more pain. Headed to a country where I'll not fail Him anymore. Let us stand this morning and give praise to God. This life isn't fair, but I'm thankful that God is just. Amen. This morning, let us empty ourselves before God. Appreciate you this morning. Go ahead, Brother Strode.